Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of Founders Grid, sponsored by Caper.io. Today we have Saif. Saif is with BDC Capital. Saif, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So can you give us a brief background about yourself, what you've been doing and what you're up to?
So I'm a finance professional. I studied finance and I'm originally from Pakistan. I grew up in Pakistan, Karachi. I moved to Canada when I was 18 to pursue my undergrad at McGill, where I studied finance. And it was an event of a lot of lucky events that actually made me come to McGill. And once I was at McGill, just like everyone else in the finance program, I wanted to pursue investment banking. But again, it's a tough nut to crack. So I wasn't able to get into banking. But the next thing that came my way was a job in commodity trading. So I did that for a year, which was exciting. I learned a lot. Some financial modeling, understanding the markets, which was fun. But, you know, after a year, almost a year and 3 months, one fine morning, I was let go. It came as a shock, surprise. And then I was out in the market again, looking for a job. This time around, again, I was like, okay, let's do investment banking again. And I was out looking for a job 6 months in, couldn't find anything. And I came to a point where I was like, okay, now maybe I'll take anything. So, and came a job at BDC. I didn't know much about BDC. I didn't know much about venture capital. I didn't know much about technology. So that's how, you know, that tells you, you know, if you got to keep trying, you got to keep pushing every possible door. So I applied for the job online, had a couple of interviews, had a case study, did well on all of those and got my job. So been 5 years in venture capital. BDC, just to give you a quick overview, is a crown corporation. It comes directly under the Canadian government. So it's the Canadian government who's investing, actually. We're a bank. It's a development bank. We've got three divisions. One of them is financing. That's our main bread and butter, around $40 billion AUM. Then we've got a consulting arm. And then we've got a BDC Capital, which is the investment arm, private equity and venture capital both. And under BDC Capital, we manage around $4 billion investing in venture capital and private equity across all stages and sectors within Canada only.
Interesting. You know, congratulations on the journey. You know, congratulations so much on the journey. So, you know, in these podcast series, we're very much focused towards, you know, the startup ecosystem, especially in the last 12 months. So let's go back in March, you know, March 15th, 20th is the time when everything started going under lockdown. The panic mode started, you know, both emotionally as well as in the startup world. You know, many startups were finding it difficult to raise, investors were pulling out term sheets, everything was, the valuations were being revised, right? So what kind of advice were you giving to your portfolio companies or those kind of things back then?
I think back in the March, it just came as a shock, as you know, we didn't see it coming, remote work and how do we, I think the first initial challenge, which I clearly remember was how do we do sales? Right? For a lot of people, doing sales was all about interpersonal skills, high EQ, going out, meeting people, conferences. Even for us, generating deal flow was a lot about going to conferences. So that was the major challenge. How do we sell online? Not a lot of people had done that in the past, right? So that I felt was an initial challenge we were seeing. And then the other challenge was, you know, people were not used to, for example, one of our company in the edtech space, they were selling to universities, and universities has they have never paid online. They have never done anything online, and that's why they were just having trouble collecting money from them. So we were having like there were some the point being there were some very unique problems. So what we told most of our companies was to sort of pause on hiring, pause on any expansion plans. Think about a step. So, you know, 6 months lockdown, 12 months lockdown, and then 12 months plus lockdown, and have three different financial plans accordingly. How would a 6 month lockdown look like in terms of sales, hiring, and your financing requirement? And then how will a 12 months lockdown look like? So that was the advice we were giving. But at the same time, as I told you, as a VC, I'm in a sort of a unique position because I work for a crown corp. Which is responsible for the VC ecosystem as well. BDC launched a COVID matching program where we were trying to match the investments these companies who are being impacted by COVID were receiving. So that was going on. So helping these companies sort of retain that capital. But overall, the advice was, you know, have those three plans in place and sort of act accordingly. And, you know, hold on, just take a pause a little bit.
Got it. Makes sense. So, you know, then, and no, there were a couple of good pieces of advice, you know, then going forward, you know, July, August, September onwards, you know, everyone started making their bets on, okay, which sector to go for in, which sector not to go for in, you know. So what were your picks back then? You know, what were your picks for? And do you still hold them true? Or like hospitality was taking a hit, you know, transport sector was taking a hit, you know. So those kind of things, you know, what were your bets back then or thinking
about? The way I looked at it, and we looked at it actually at the farm, was we sort of had three different buckets, if I may. We had one which was accelerated growth, where we saw that growth has picked up, accelerated adoption, if I may, where companies are adopting faster than they were back in the days. For example, online conferencing, Zoom, you know, people were still using it, but because of COVID, there was an accelerated adoption. There was that. Then there was a temporary pause. Companies like airlines, where, you know, there was a temporary pause. It's a demand which is stuck for time being, and then it will come back again, hopefully. And then there was the third bucket, which was like complete shift, a new industry altogether, vaccine, tracking people and all that. So we were thinking about it from that bucket perspective and putting companies in those buckets, where we saw that there was a pause, we thought there might be an opportunity. We were invested in a couple of companies. One of them is Sonder. The other one is Hopper, which was in the airline, travel sector. So we were closely monitoring that industry and seeing what it's looking like. But overall, I feel the VC world, the technology world, benefited anyway. And as you can see, the valuations and everything, because of the accelerated adoption in general, right? Everybody is now more tech savvy. So that's how we were looking at investments and even managing our existing portfolio in terms of thinking about what do we want to do going forward.
Yeah, true. So then the next, you know, I'm just going through my head because we have to keep these podcasts within 8 to 12 minutes. So I'm just rushing through questions. So the next question is around deals used to be in person, handshake deals, you know, then assessing the, you know, understanding the body language, the chemistry and everything, the chemistry of the room. That is how many gut, you used to take their decisions based on gut feelings, right? But now everyone is assessing based on Zoom, at least, for the last 1.5 months. And, you know, the VC deals are happening at a record pace as well, right? So any key takeaways of assessing deals over Zoom?
I think it's hard. It's really tough because a lot of times I always tell this to whoever I speak with about my experience in venture capital is that this is, doing these deals is all about relationship. And when I am doing diligence and I'm meeting an entrepreneur or a founder, I look at from a relationship perspective. I want to be with this founder for the next 5 years or even 10 years if this company is going, it's going to last for that long. So it's a relationship. You want to build that relationship up with trust, with mutual understanding, with having that, you know, getting along well, because you're going to be on the board for a very long time. You're going to have some tough discussions. It's a journey, right? And you want to be become a part of it at a very early stage till the company possibly goes for an IPO or eventual exit. So building that relationship over Zoom, it's like very tough, right? It's just like online dating. It's not easy, you know, you're without getting to know the person, without getting to actually go out and have a walk. So, having said that, we're still, you know, managing deals, we're doing it. Again, a lot of deals are based on founder's track record, the industry they're after, and their reputation in the market, right? And then, of course, how the company is doing and all those metrics. But again, those things are easily evaluated somehow through Zoom and through doing some diligence, all that. But again, that relationship part, I think it's extremely crucial and extremely important. And that's still sort of missing unless you have met founder before and you know him from before or her from before. But that's a challenge. And hopefully once we're back into normal, we'll fill that.
True. Last question, you know, top three pieces of advice you would give to early stage founders, you know, who just started out before the pandemic or in the middle of the pandemic? You know, what top three pieces of advice would you give to them?
Wow, that's a tough one. I think there's so many pieces of advice you could possibly give. I'm not a founder myself, so I admire founders. I admire their resiliency. I admire their tenacity. So I think someone who has been on board and have seen companies grow, my advice normally is to just, especially given the pandemic, the hiring process has become very different. And I've seen a lot of companies hiring these days virtually, and it's kind of challenging these days. It's becoming tougher and tougher. Yeah, exactly. And I know a couple of companies, the turnover has been like 40% during COVID, 50%, and they started during the pandemic and also. And again, the reason being, hiring virtually was not a thing before. It has become a new industry altogether, right? And for startups,
it's here to stay.
Exactly, and it's here to stay. So that's why I think you got to rely on someone with an expert in that. And that's why I think Gasper is good, because they are sort of an expert in the way that they know how to hire virtually, they know how to assess candidates. Again, founders, they haven't done that in the past. This is something new. So again, hiring, first thing, 100% for early stage founders, keep that top of your mind, hire the right people. It wastes so much time in hiring the wrong person, then firing that person and starting it all over again. Mm-hmm. So you got to hire the right person. So that's the key. Two, we are still not out of the pandemic. So there's still a lot of uncertainty out there.
Yeah.
We don't know there's going to be another vaccine 12 months from now, how things are going to look like, how the economy is going to open, who's going to be impacted more. There's so much uncertainty still out there. We are finding, we think that, things are getting back to normal, but I still feel there's still a lot of uncertainty. So plan accordingly in terms of financial, whatever you have in the bank, hiring, be very vigilant. And then lastly, I tell all founders, have that ability to take risk. I think founders are famous and they are someone who take a lot of risk. So never compromise on that.
All right. Sev, thank you so much for being on the show. Stay safe, take care of yourself. And it was lovely having you.
Pleasure. Thank you very much for having me. Thanks.